God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is our gospel reading. And in that gospel reading, we may be surprised if you were invited to a great banquet. And let me just tell you an interesting story. A classmate of mine, while I was in my seminary days, was invited to a great banquet. The host of this banquet was none other than the President of the United States of America. And I remember he was asking some of his friends, should I go? Needless to say, us as his friends were saying, this is a no-brainer, you need to go. But he was a little unsure. He was a little unsure why he should go. He did, fortunately, end up going. There are just some invitations you just have to go to. Some you may be able to say no, but some you just have to go to. Who wouldn't want to go to a grand, wonderful banquet? Apparently, in our text for today, this parable is being told. And it's being told that those who were initially invited to this banquet, a wedding feast, did not want to show up. And we have to ask the question, why? Why wouldn't someone want to show up? And the answer to that is, maybe they got some misinformation. What if I would have told my friend, you don't want to see the President of the United States. There's no real big deal about that, just because all of his expenses were paid and there and back. Don't worry about it. Just stay home and do nothing. That is one possibility. Another is, he might have said, I didn't vote for the person who was in office, so why should I go? Kind of disrespecting the office, but he didn't say that either. There are many reasons in life that would distract us from receiving a wonderful, joyous gift. And now let me share with you a bumper sticker I just recently saw. It was a little disturbing. It said, recovered from religion for good. Apparently, the owner of this bummer sticker, if I can just sort of read between the lines here, was one who felt that some religions were that of an addiction. And it's an addiction that needed to be recovered from. Again, it fits very well with our parable. Who would ever say something like that? Again, someone with a very mixed message here. And so it begs the question here. Since parables are messages about the kingdom of God, and as Christians, we're followers of Christ, we're supposed to be in that kingdom, we have to ask ourselves, do we see Christianity as a gift, or do we see it as a burden? We live in a society like the owner of that bumper sticker and the people who were first invited to the wedding feast. There are many people who feel that Christianity is a burden. And you may ask, well, didn't they like the gift? Don't they want God's love? Don't they want forgiveness of sin? Now, true, there are some people who fit in this category who feel that they really haven't done anything wrong, and because they haven't done anything wrong, they don't necessarily need forgiveness. But everyone likes to be loved, don't we? The problem, especially in today's society, is we don't have a control on the term Christianity. And because of that, we don't even have the control of the term Lutheran. What other Lutherans do, even in our own denomination or out of our denomination, what other Christians do, we don't necessarily have control over. So needless to say, with that gift sometimes comes a little extra baggage. What happens when people abuse this gift and start saying things that Christ does not represent? Unfortunately, as I sometimes hear other televangelists or other preachers, they sometimes talk about a theology of prosperity. You know, remain faithful to God and God will bless you. If you're not faithful to God, then God is not going to bless you. That's great if you're a bunch of Christians living in the upper class, but if you happen to be a bunch of Christians in third world countries, you may not necessarily feel that you're a Christian anymore. This is not true. God bestows His blessings in and in His own way, and Christianity is God's gift. Again, Christianity can be misused and abused when sometimes people use Christianity for other reasons, for other self-serving reasons, whether they be a political mandate or because they want to pad their pockets. And then we always have those Christian leaders who sit there and tell people that how they have to be perfect and sinless. And then we find out that they themselves are probably bigger sinners. Needless to say, we need Christianity to get back into understanding that it is a cherished gift we're talking about. Please do not look to me as a source of inspiration on how you can lead the perfect life. The only thing that I will tell you is that I know where perfection is. It's not within me. It is within Christ, my Savior. I also confess the same words that I am a sinner. Don't look to me as the model of your faith. Look to Christ, who gives both of us that special, cherished gift. We have to realize Christianity is about the reconciliation we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is about the forgiveness of sins and how Christ, through God's Word, through holy baptism, brings you into this special gift. And so now that we're sort of into this gift, let's get back into our parable. In this parable, the king has prepared the dinner. And so we would have to ask ourselves, what would God serve for dinner? Well, if you picked up on that Isaiah passage for our Old Testament reading, you may realize that it is a grand banquet. But on God's menu for us, because we're not yet there, we're still this side of heaven, He has a different menu for us. We're not necessarily going to be fed God's grand banquet, but we will be fed Christ Himself. Because while we're still this side of heaven, we need that strength. We need that encouragement. Because we live in a world with many misconceptions about who this Christ is and what this Christ is all about. And so what's on God's menu for dinner? Not only Himself, body and blood, bread and wine, but love, forgiveness, and reconciliation. That's the key points. That is what Christianity is all about. Taking the gifts that God has given to us, enjoying these gifts, and sharing these gifts. Let me get into a little bit of a teaching point, because our text for today lends itself too much for this teaching point. Again, it shows on how sometimes Christians may misunderstand what God is talking about. It has to deal with the concept of what we would call predestination. It's a big term. It basically means that you know that you will be in a certain place at a certain time. And for Christians, we know that because of God's grace, because we receive this gift, we are guaranteed a place in heaven above. But can we lose this gift? Can we toss this gift away? The answer is yes. Notice what our text for today says. Those initially invited did not want to come for whatever reason. And then God said, fine, invite anyone and all people. And then we find out that there was a certain man who was not wearing the wedding garment. He also was tossed out. We have to realize that predestination as Christians is important. We believe because of that faith that God has given to us, we are considered as saints, guaranteed a place in heaven above, at least guaranteed from God's point of view. Unfortunately, we can give up this gift, as that person without the wedding garment chose not to wear, and he was cast in outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. However, some Christians misunderstand this concept of predestination. And we come up with another term for this misunderstanding, that is double predestination. It's a little close, but you'll catch by its definition where it falls short. It says, those whom God elected and Christ died for, God draws to himself through irresistible grace, basically saying, because of the gift God has given to you, you are guaranteed a place in heaven above. We don't have a problem with that. But then it continues. When God calls and then also sends some people to hell, again, they don't have a choice. Now we have an objection here. Basically, it's saying that the loving Almighty God says, I'm only going to love some of you and not all of you. And I'll just pick on you for which side of the pews you sat on today. Let's just say those who sat on the organ side are guaranteed to go to heaven. Those who sat on the pulpit side, you're now going to hell. Isn't that nice? And you're thinking, I knew I sat on the wrong side of the church today, didn't I? And they would think that God would arbitrarily do that. This is not true. You know what God does? His Son's death on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole entire world. Then why aren't all people saved? The answer is because some have rejected the gift. Because they have rejected that gift, they will go down to the place of outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, sometimes churches misteach this. And they say, God picks some to go to heaven, God picks some to go to hell. If you're going to heaven, great. If you're going to hell, oh well. This is not biblical, and it doesn't even fit in with our text for today, whereas regular predestination does. God is the one who has called you. Getting back to our text, using the analogy of that wedding garment, how has God called you? Through holy baptism. As Scripture reminds us in the New Testament, all those who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so you have this example of like a white garment. And this is why very often infants who are brought to the baptismal font are wearing white. It sort of covers them and clothes them. Even though underneath that white garment you have a sinner who needs God's grace. But what happens if we are not wearing that white garment of Christ? God sees our sinfulness. As a result, we are then banished to hell. However, God gives that white garment of Christ to all people. So we should rejoice and be glad that God gives us this gift. And at the same time, for those who have not been baptized, to those who are resisting God's gift, what do we do with them? Do we say, the hell with them? Pardon the pun. No. We should be actively going after them. Not nagging them. Not tackling them. But sharing them the true meaning of Christianity, of God's gift. More than likely they've heard about Jesus Christ. But they've heard the wrong message. But God can use you to give them the right message. The right message of love, of reconciliation. Now don't think to yourself, well, I'm not the perfect person for it. Yes, you are. Because God uses sinners like you and me to proclaim His word of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And we may scratch our heads and think, why would God want to use imperfect people to communicate His word? Well, there was only one perfect person who ever walked this earth after Adam and Eve. And that was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the world crucified Him. Needless to say, there are no more other perfect people. God can and will use you. Again, like our parable, as long as we are not rejecting His gift. So we need to receive His gift and live His gift.
We should not be ashamed of His gift. We should appreciate His gift. And in doing so, we need to realize doing God's will is what He wants us to do. To show that love, to show that forgiveness. And when we make mistakes, not if, when, we come to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and fess up our sins. For those of you who are parents, when was the last time when your children ever saw you make a mistake and you fessed up to it? When was the last time in the workplace where you said, you know, you're right, this is my fault. I made a mistake here. It doesn't happen very often. But as Christians, if we truly understand what Christ, His love, His forgiveness and reconciliation is all about, we should be very free to admit, I am a sinner. I have fallen short of God's glory. And yes, I should confess my sin. That is what sets us apart. And when the world starts seeing that as a message, they might be thinking, wow, your version of Christianity is a little bit different than some of the things I hear on TV. To which you have to say, you're right. Here at Trinity, we try to teach what God's Word is all about. Teach His gift of love and forgiveness. The last little point I want to make this connection to on our text is notice that the king was not satisfied with a half-empty feast. As Christians, we also should not be satisfied with a half-empty church. What should we do? As the king sent out his servants and saying, go to the highways and byways, and notice, send the invitation to both the good and the bad. Can we really believe this faith, trust this faith, live this faith, that we would want the, quote, bad people of this world to come and be reconciled to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If so, then we have the correct understanding of Holy Scripture. If we find our sinful nature is resisting a little bit, then we need to come back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and saying, soften my heart. Help me to be bold, not just to go after the quote-unquote good people, but also the bad people. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All are in need of God's grace. Yes, the king was not satisfied with a half-empty feast. Nor is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because Christ's atoning death upon the cross was for all people throughout the whole world, not just a select group. So when we see those people who seem to be outside of God's grace and who don't understand His love and reconciliation, we need to go to them and gently tell them what Christ has done for them and what Christ has done for us. Yes, we are the chosen. Through God's holy baptism, through His precious gospel, we are predestined to eternal life. But it is a gift of God in which we cherish greatly. Unfortunately, it is a gift of God that if we get distracted by the things of this world, we sometimes may chuck aside way too quickly. So this day we rejoice that, yes, God has given us this gift, not to become conceited, but to take this gift and the responsibility of this gift and share it with those around, so that maybe one of these days the church will be filled and more people will come to hear Christ's saving message of love, forgiveness, and reconciliation. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.